jump into my memory time machine with me to the year 1994. I'm 14 years old, entering into grade 9, and I've just moved from the Sunshine Coast, BC, to Alberta. I'd spent the previous few years in a Christian school setting and a little bit of homeschool time, and here I am entering Sundry High School for grade 9. Now, to say that I didn't fit in would be a bit of an understatement. I was quite unpopular and very uncool. And so, trying my best to adjust and adapt, I found myself being bullied a lot. And one particular day, as I was walking into class, one of the boys who took an exceptional dislike towards me came up behind me and kicked me in the back of the leg. Well, this set off a bit of a chain reaction of sorts. First, my brain went into panic mode, blood pressure dropped, and then I fell on the floor unconscious. I woke up to my teacher trying to coax me back to consciousness. And then something really wonderful happened, I say sarcastically. I was scared, confused, quite shocked, and I burst into tears. Now, you can imagine that would not do me any favors in terms of my popularity or fit-in factor. So here I am, quite unliked, quite unpopular, and crying. Fast forward to another day, same kind of scenario. I'm sitting on the school bus ready to go home. I had this special 45-minute bus ride two times a day with this particular young gentleman sitting behind me. And on this day, as kids were getting onto the bus, he was punching me in the back of the head. He thought it was a great sport. I thought if I could just endure and fly under the radar long enough, I can get home and get out of this. Until one moment when I snapped. I wish I hadn't done it, although I am particularly grateful. I stood up, turned around, and I pummeled him. And I'm not suggesting that fighting was a good solution or that you should ever do it, but it did get us both kicked off the bus and caused some other consequences. I was quite at odds with this gentleman. He and I were enemies. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment that after this, he shows up at my house. He doesn't say a word of apology. He doesn't try to befriend me. Walks into our home like he owns it. Sits down on our couch and starts petting our dog. Comes to the table and he goes, "Oh, what's for supper?" And he just starts helping himself. My family and I would be quite perplexed, shocked, disappointed, angry. We might even be scared. What is happening? Why do we have an enemy at the table? And yet, as I consider Easter and the resurrection of Christ, I'm reminded that many of us, too many of us, see eternity in heaven that way. We think, well, if there is a God, and he is love, and there's a place called heaven, then surely there's a spot at the table for me. I'm not that bad a person. I do some good things. Yes, I've got my troubles, but how could a good God, full of love, not let me in to sit at his table? I want us to take a look at Romans chapter 8. In order to understand how this works and how God has this system and his holiness and his opportunity for eternity, we need to look at a couple of verses. And the first is found in Romans chapter 8, and we'll be reading it from verses 5 through 8. It says this: "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace." And this verse caught me off guard. I've read this many times, but don't miss this. Verse 7. "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Let that sink in for a moment. Hostile to God. You see, it says the mindset on the flesh, our natural way of living, is hostile to God. Without Jesus, we aren't just a little bit off or not religious enough. Without Jesus, we are his enemy. We are enemies of God. And have you noticed this in yourself? Because I've seen it in me at different points. Now, certainly it's much easier if we look around us and we could look at people in our lives or people in the world or circumstances in the world and we could think to ourselves, oh yeah, they are hostile to God. The world is becoming more and more hostile to God. They're enemies of God. They're against the things of God. But I don't want you to think about others. I want you to think about yourself. Because without grace and without Jesus and without the cross, I am an enemy of God. And without that grace, you are an enemy of God. That can be a hard pill to swallow. Looking at our brokenness, looking at our pride, our selfishness, the distance that exists. And maybe you've noticed it in yourself, your thoughts, your choices, your desires. Maybe they don't naturally line up with God. Because without his grace, we're actually in opposition to his holiness. And we live, therefore, as his enemies. In a sense, it's reflective of my conflict back in grade 9. Except for not with a peer, not with somebody that I see and then don't see. The reality is that Scripture is telling me that I am by nature an enemy of God. And certainly that could feel unfair. That's not right. How is that my fault? How is it that I'm unfair? How is it that I'm an enemy of God? He set the standard too high. He made it impossible for me. Why does God have such high standards anyway? Is he so high and so mighty, so holy and so good that he can't put up with little old me? Think for a moment, though. You see, we all have standards, don't we? We all have preferences. We apply these standards and we apply these preferences to the things that we love and the things that we don't love, the things that we value and the things that we don't value. I mean, think about the foods you eat. It's why I don't eat onions. That's my preference. I just don't like them. I'm sorry. We apply our preferences to the shows that we'll watch or the shows we would never watch. The church we'll go to or the church we'd never go to. The person we'll marry or the person we would never marry. We all have standards. We all have preferences of things we like, things we crave, things we want. And our preference is determined by what we value. But that's not how it is with God. You see, God's standards aren't just based on preference or desire. God doesn't choose holiness. He is holy. It's not a decision to be holy. He is the very existence of holiness. Let's get a little scientific for a moment. They say that oil and water don't mix, right? And so if you think about this, you could take them, put them in a jar, you could shake them all up, try to get them to mix together, and then put the jar down, and what would happen to the oil and water is that they would separate. They would put into layers. Why? It's because they are immiscible. Immiscible means that they cannot mix. They cannot be blended together. They're two products that cannot come together. And certainly I cannot take oil and water and compare it to God's holiness and our sin, but it's a contrast. It's a picture. They don't mix. You see, God's holiness isn't some trait that he can turn off and on. It's intrinsic to his being. And our sin nature, it runs deep. It's how we're born, every one of us. And so we aren't just different from God. We're incompatible with him. We are opposed to the holiness of God. We are like oil to water, like darkness to light. So how can God, who is holy, welcome us who are not holy into his presence? Well, let's go back to Romans, and this time to chapter 5. You see, if all we have is our separation from God and our distance from God, the story of Easter is terribly scary. But it doesn't stop there. If we look at Romans chapter 5, and we'll be reading from verses 8 to 11. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him through the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, there it is again, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is what it means to go from enemies to family. God didn't wait for us to clean ourselves up. Oh, and it's a good thing. He didn't wait for us to make the first move. He loved us while we were still sinners, while we were in opposition to him, while we were hostile to God. That's when Jesus went to the cross. This is important. You see, God didn't treat us like enemies. He didn't treat us like those who were hostile. He was so willing to sacrifice his son, Jesus, for us. He paid the price for our rebellion. He bore the punishment that we deserved. And then he rose again from the grave. He conquered death, he defeated sin, and he offers us life. That's reconciliation. He didn't demand that we earn a seat at the table. He gave us one. That's what Easter is all about. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus, God's enemies become God's children. God's house becomes our home. God's table becomes our table. So what gets us a seat at his table? Not our good works, not our good behavior, not our religious acts, not our attendance at church, not being better than most. The only thing that gets us into the presence of a holy God, into his house, at his table, is his grace through Jesus Christ. His extravagant, his unmerited, his unconditional grace. Last week, I received the results of a Leadership 360 evaluation. If you're familiar with this term, you'll understand that it's where a group of your peers or those that you're leading evaluate you on a number of metrics. It's a very interesting process. It's quite vulnerable and very honest and revealing. And essentially, the reality is this, and you probably understand this already, but I can never see myself. I can only see a reflection of me. I can see an image of me, but I can never actually truly see me. You can see me. Every one of you right now can choose to see me, and you can see what I cannot see about myself. And so a 360 evaluation takes this deep look at your character, your competency, your skills, and it just pulls up to the surface what you see about yourself and what you don't see about yourself. And it got me thinking, what if I could do a 360 with Jesus? What if Jesus took a 360-degree evaluation of Jarrell and said, this is what I see Jarrell taking into his life, this is what I see Jarrell living out of his life. what would Jesus say to me? What would he show me? What would I learn about myself that I don't know already? Simply put, there are two types of people in this world. This is the reality. There are those who are hostile to God, and there are those who have received Jesus and are seated at the table with him. There's no halfway mark on this one. There are those who are hostile and enemies of God, and there are those who are seated at the table and welcomed into his family. And that's it. And if Jesus were to evaluate you today, and if he were to evaluate me today, the question I want you to ask yourself is the question I'm asking myself. Jesus, what do you see when you look at me? Do you see hostility? Or do you see your family? And I challenge you to ask yourself, are you an enemy of God? It's a painful question, but it's worth considering. You see, right now, each one of us can live reconciled as a child of God. Colossians chapter 1, 21 and 22 says, "And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him." All of us were hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. And all of us have been given the opportunity to be reconciled, to be made right with God by the death and resurrection of Jesus. So what gives us the right to walk in and sit down at the table with Jesus, to fellowship with him, to be a part of his family? What gives us that right? Nothing you have done. Nothing you can do. Only the unconditional, extravagant love of God. And this Easter, the invitation is on the table for you. And it's on the table for me. In the death of resurrection of Jesus, there's an opportunity to be made right before God. Not because we deserve it, but because he loves you. Even when you're hostile to him, he says, "I love you and I died for you. And I offer you forgiveness." In your bulletin, there are some reflection questions, and I encourage you, don't leave today. Don't finish out this day without taking some time to consider those questions. Have conversations with people in your life. Ask some God questions. Do some personal reflection. Thank God for his gift of grace. And in just a few seconds, the team is going to come back up and we're going to sing a couple more songs. And I want to encourage you, if the Spirit of God is speaking to you today, and you recognize that you are in fact hostile to God, and right now, if Jesus came and talked to you about your relationship, you would admit, "I am an enemy of God." Don't miss your chance today to be restored into a right relationship with him. And after these songs are done, I want to encourage you, come sit in any of the front rows and let us pray with you. Let us share this good news of Jesus Christ with you. Will you accept his invitation? Will you let the cross of Jesus move you from enemy to family? If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Let's pray. Holy God, I am nothing like you. My sin separates me from you. And yet you sent Jesus. You sent Jesus to die on the cross. You sent Jesus to forgive me for sin when I was an enemy, when I was hostile to you, when I couldn't do a thing to earn it or deserve it. That's not fairness. That's just grace. That's just grace. Holy Spirit, if you would just speak to us today, if you would reveal to us what you want to say, would you use your word? Would you use your worship? Would you use the people around us to help us become a part of that invitation, to receive and accept that invitation to sit at your table? to fellowship with you. In Jesus' name.